Good morning. My name is Kim Hammond. I'm the committee clerk for this morning. This is the Resources Committee, and we're this morning looking at fisheries and aquaculture. The first order of business is to nominate a chair. Are there any nominations from the floor? Thank you. Are there any further nominations from the floor? There being no further nominations, Mr. War is claimed chair. May you take your seat.
Good morning, all. And our second order of business is to nominate our vice chair. Mr. Kevin Parsons has been nominated. Any further nominations? Declare Kevin Parsons vice chair. Before we start, just a few housekeeping notes, and I'll just ask you to bear with me as my although I've chaired meetings before, it's the first time chairing one here, so it first thing I think we'll do is probably have the introduction of our committee members, and if we could start with
Jerry Bragan, Teddy Fogel,
Cape Friels.
Jerry Dean, MHA Exploits.
John Finn, MHA Stephenville Port-au-Port.
Kevin Parsons, MHA, Cape St. Francis.
Megan Drudge, researcher, official opposition caucus.
Lorraine Michael, MHA, St. John's East, Kittyvitty.
Ivan Morgan, researcher, NDP caucus.
And good morning, Minister. Yeah.
Good morning.
Minister Steve Crocker.
Brian Meany, I'm ADM responsible for aquaculture, seafood marketing, and industry support services.
David Lewis, Deputy Minister.
Wanda Wiseman, Acting ADM for Fisheries.
Kate Lundgren, Fisheries Financial Planning Supervisor.
Philip Ivamy, Departmental Controller.
Vanessa Coleman, SAD Director of Communications.
Matthew Orthman, Minister Cracker's Executive Assistant.
Thank you. Again, under housekeeping, we want to make sure that when you're speaking, besides probably the minister and the committee members, if any of the staff are speaking, please announce your name and just use the tally light just for the communication center. So we'll get started. Will the clerk please call the first subhead?
1.1.01.
Shall 1.1.01 carry? Minister, you have 15 minutes for your opening remarks.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just briefly, I'm not going to have a preamble, but I will welcome everybody this morning and congratulate you as the chair and Mr. Parsons as the vice chair. And we'll get right into it, and we'll answer what questions are posed. And if there are any issues that arise, we can certainly get back to you at as fast as we can. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and as I previously discussed with the Minister, I'll go through the line items a little bit afterwards, but I got some questions first about specifics to the budget, and I'm going to ask those first, and there will be some in between, and hopefully if there's anything you can't answer, you can get back to me. That's no problem whatsoever. Yep. Just want to talk about first little thing, few things that are not in the budget or if they are, perhaps you can tell me where they're to and whatnot. The Fisheries Technology New Opportunities Program, has this been eliminated?
The FITNOP program?
Yeah.
Yeah, FITNOP has been rolled into our new Seafood Innovation and Transition Program. So just to elaborate a little, FITNOP, the terms were changed a little, and FITNOP had $1 million last year. It was set to expire, so we brought in a new program where we will focus not wholly, but we'll look at transition as more of a part of that program. FITNOP didn't look at transition, so it'll be more of a guide towards transition.
What program is that?
It's the Seafood Innovation and Transition Program.
Okay, all right.
It's a $2 million fund.
Okay, under the $2 million, okay, that's good. Okay, marine fisheries research. What commitment is in the budget for marine research?
The research, well, the commitment to CFER is there. There were some reductions. There were some savings with regards to the vessel.
Yeah.
And there were some further administrative savings, but we will continue on with CFER, and we've actually started conversations with the federal government to move them back into filling the void that they left the previous federal administration as they moved money out of research. So we're hoping that, and the federal government in their budget did announce additional funding for research, and we're confident that they'll fill the void.
Okay. So when we look at the Celtic Explorer research, Celtic Explorer, is that eliminated or
no? The Celtic Explorer is due here. Within the next few days.
Okay.
There was an agreement reached with the Marine Institute of Ireland to. Lower the fees, the cost associated with the boat this year, so we were able to get the Explorer here at a lower cost.
Okay, and is it going to do basically the same research that it does, did over the last number of years?
Yes. Actually, this year I think the Explorer is going to be in 3PS. Is that right, Dave? The research this year will be in 3PS because of the challenges we face with cod in 3PS.
Okay. All right, the $2 million for the Seafood Innovation and Transformation Program, what's in this funding? What does it do?
Well, we're hoping this funding will assist harvesters, processors, academics in looking at, not wholly, but looking at opportunities as we move towards rebounding groundfish. So there will be a lens given to it to help with the transition back to groundfish.
Is there any money in this fund for exploring marketing in the fishery? Is that what one
well, yes. Right, like right. If a proponent, for example, a harvester came in and said, you know, I need this technology as an example to help with marketing of my product, that absolutely is something that would be considered in the funding proposals.
Okay. But is there a separate marketing fund or anything in the Department of Fisheries to set up? I'm just looking at the groundfish coming back and cod and everything else.
Yeah.
And talking to most of the harvesters,
yep.
I mean, this year they're looking at an increase in their quotas, and the biggest problem they have is where we're going to get rid of the fish to, and how we're going to market. As you know, a lot of companies, yeah. We don't have a lot of companies doing cod, and there is a huge problem when cod does come back of where we're going to sell it to and how we're going to market it. And what, you know,
well, that again will be part of the transition program, and just recently the FFAW and a group of processors were able
yep.
to announce a new body that they're going to look at that because you're absolutely correct. There is a possibility this year there will be substantially more groundfish, but this is why we want to take. I guess when you look at marketing, the beginning of marketing is how a product is harvested, and so you know an investment in new technology that would help in product quality is an important part of marketing.
Okay. The other thing I look at when with the cod fishery in particular, because I was involved in cod fishery for years
yep.
myself, and I look at I know it's coming back and. Been on the water myself and just seeing the difference over the last number of years and talking to fishermen. You know, we have a problem with processing, obviously, that we don't have the people that can fillet the fish anymore like they used to, and they're not there anymore. So it's going to take innovation. It's going to take huge investments in processing plants and stuff like this. And I'm just worried that we're not going to be ready and wondering, you know, what government's doing. Are we working with industry? Are we working with the unions? What are we doing to make sure that when the fishery does come back, because it's probably the brightest spot in our economy right now, and I think we got to be ready. So I just was wondering where we're to, and
yeah.
Are we doing anything there?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on the role that needs to be played. And again, I'll go back to the FFAW and those processors 2 Fridays, or well, maybe 2 weeks, this coming Friday. And their initial, they actually came together as, I guess, processors and union representing harvesters. They came together on their own, and actually we weren't part of that, and that was by design. So they came together. Now we have since become, you know, we sat in on a meeting after their announcement on that Friday. We were invited to come to the table, and we will be going forward at that table.
Okay.
And again, back to your I guess remark about you know what we can do. You know, we're hoping, and you know, it's the investment that we can make through the new program will help some harvesters get their foot in the door, or sorry, harvesters and processors get their foot in the door to some new technologies that can ultimately help with product quality. In any marketing, the first thing we need, and you'll get full agreement from harvesters and processors and the union that, you know, in order to market a product, we have to make sure that we're harvesting that product in the best way so that the product going to the market, you know, is A1.
Yeah, I agree 100%. The other thing is, you know, and I wasn't going to go here, actually, but while I'm here, I'm going to say it. With CETA, when CETA was first announced and I looked at CETA, I thought it was a great investment and it was an investment that we needed to do. I mean, the millions of dollars that's going to need for the industry. What are we doing with the feds? Are we giving up on CETA or are we... no, just a simple question. We need their investment in this fishery. We need their because it's going to take mega dollars to do this. So where are we to with that?
That's a negotiation that's obviously being handled by the minister responsible for trade.
Yeah.
But we are back at that table. Every opportunity, you know, we have, and I've engaged with Minister Tutu on it, and Minister Foote as well, and the other MPs from this province. And you are correct. The fisheries fund right now would go a long ways in helping us in this transition. So obviously it's an ongoing file, and we will continue to pursue it.
In the budget, I saw some processing fees.
Yes.
Can you explain them to me? And who pays them?
Processor.
The processor?
Yeah, the processor fee.
So I just saw there was fees for all different species and stuff like that. And when you talk about so much a ton, how does that work? Like,
so,
give me an example on crab.
So the example on crab is, as a department, so every processor in the province reports on a weekly basis. Well,
yeah,
they would report to the DFA on a weekly basis of their production levels, and this fee would be applied. So it's applied at, for crab, for an example, it's $5
a ton, yeah.
Right? So it is a charge that was there in the past. And, for example, you know, and when we looked at these fees, we were very conscious of the situation. For example, you will find there's no fee on shrimp. We've seen the issues around shrimp.
Shrimp, yeah.
And it very much minimized in some cases. You will find ground fish at 50 cents a ton.
Yeah.
And a lot of this is cost recovery for our workers and DFA employees who do the inspections and are at the plants. And
Can you give me an example? Like, I'm looking at $5 a ton, and it doesn't seem like a whole lot of money to how much money is involved in the crab industry?
On crab?
No. Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah. The overall, over every species throughout the industry, is
$200,000. $200,000, okay.
Yep.
All right. And
approximately, obviously, that depends on...
Yeah.
On,
okay. Yeah. And we look at crab this year. Crab's a great price for the harvesters, and so the $5 a ton is not going to have a huge effect, actually. And were they notified beforehand that, you know, this was coming or anything? Because, you know, sometimes...
Well, no, obviously, it was a budgetary item, so they weren't notified
beforehand,
no.
Okay, so and the processors are the ones that are paying the charge?
Yes.
Okay. I want to ask you a little question, and I know we got the committee set up, all parties committee and whatnot on the shrimp. Where are we to on timelines? Because we discussed before as a committee member, we discussed, you know, how important it was to have this in place by June.
Mm-hmm.
Are we still on track for that?
June 15th is the report date.
Is the report date?
Yeah.
And what effect is that going to have on plants in the area and stuff like that? Because we also discussed that most of the inshore fishery would start around 1st of June, and I think the catches and the crab seems like they're pretty good so far, so you'll see the harvesters being ready to go right away at the 1st of June. So what effect would this have on opening the plants and plant workers and stuff like that?
My most recent conversation with the FFAW was they don't really see a major concern. Obviously, it's a delay, but they seem to be comfortable with the date of June 15th.
So I looked at the plant out your way there last week, and the biggest concern I had was that do you see a lot of people that are in plant workers? They set up their, income, their EI and stuff like this.
Yeah.
So it's very important that report come in and we do what we got to with that report so these plants can do the processing
and make the necessary adjustments. Again, I couldn't agree more. It's important that you know this report is done as expediently as possible, but then again, we don't want a rush report because we need these people to understand the benefits of the inshore shrimp fishery, and hopefully in the next few days. It's my understanding, I haven't seen anything, that we're going to find out where they're going to be holding their herrings. So it will be interesting to see, you know, where they go and make sure that us as a committee, you know, prepare our position to say to them, you know, focus on where the focus needs to be here. And you know, with everything we're going through, the focus needs to be on the inshore.
I'm not sure. Maybe it came out yesterday. I didn't read the release you gave me yesterday. I didn't get a chance yet. Is there terms of reference?
The terms of reference is attached to the piece that was sent to you yesterday.
Okay. So I'll have a look at that later on today. So we're looking at both the offshore and the inshore fishery and representations there from both parties, I would imagine, is it?
On the panel itself?
Yeah.
The panel is...
I knew some of the names. I didn't know all of them.
Yeah, no, nor did I. But the panel is very much, I guess, science and not really attached, I don't think, to either side of the industry.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about just... only got a couple minutes left. About agriculture.
You'll get more.
Agriculture. Yep. And now this is just my preamble.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, I want to talk about agriculture. Greg Seafoods, yep. Where are we to with that? And what's the idea? Are we planning to make that investment? Are we going to have them here? Or I know we made an announcement last year, and it's a huge thing for Placentia Bay and stuff like that. So
right now it's an environmental assessment and due to come out, I think, on April 25th. 26th of April.
Yeah.
Greg are actually back putting their financing package together. So that's where the province is. We're waiting for Greg to come in with their financing package, and that's when, you know, we'll sit down and evaluate the financing package.
Okay. Is there any money in the budget for, you know, investment in this?
For Greg specifically? No, there's not.
Okay.
It's not a line item in the budget.
It's not a line item in the budget. Okay. So if we do come up with an agreement that this is going to go forward, because it is another part of the Minsk Great Diversification Program.
Yep.
Where will the money come from?
The money would come from, there's a contingency in the budget, for example, and there are ways for government to borrow if and when this project comes together.
Okay, perfect. Fisheries Advisory Council, the budget's committed to $200,000 this year. What are you spending on?
The budget is committed to 100,000. There's a commitment for 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah,
okay.
100,000 this year and 100,000 next year. That money would be spent on the facilitating of meetings, the possibility of a compensation for a chair, or even, you know, expenses incurred by committee members.
Okay. I want to go back a little bit to the cod fishery because I'm really concerned about whether we're going to be ready or not. You know, I believe that we need a whole lot more than $2 million to be ready and to make sure that our plants. My prediction is that we're going to see a full-fledged cod fishery in about 3 or 4 years' time, and I think that's the turn. But we need to get ready, and I really think we got to emphasize to the feds how important this is and come outside, because we're going to need their investment here. So I don't know if we should be setting up a committee within government to you know, advocate and do whatever we can. But what's your thoughts on where we're to with that?
Well, I think just to go back to your earlier point about the fisheries investment fund and with regards to transition, it's obviously it's a concern for all of us that we make sure we're ready for cod. And again, I'll go back to, you know, the processors and the harvesters have come together, and you know, so these guys are working on a plan to ensure that we are ready. And you're right, we do have a lot of work to do, but we're committed as a government to ensuring that we are, you know, facilitating, you know, the anticipation of a return to the cod stocks. And, you know, we are there. We have an understanding of the importance of cod and where it's going to be in the future. So, you know.
Yeah. I just look at rural Newfoundland. And I mean, it's a savior for rural Newfoundland. We know how vibrant rural Newfoundland was when cod fishery was on the go. And I believe that, you know, if we want one thing we should be doing as a government is making sure that the investments are in place so that
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I come from a district. You can see the impacts of the fishery on a district. Just last week, we seen what happened in Veta Verde and the overall impacts of that throughout the entire region, not just, my district. It has an economic impact all over the province. So yes, absolutely.
Okay. Anything from Ms. Michael on 1.1.01?
Thank you very much, Lorraine Michael, St. John's East Kitty-Vitty. I wasn't going to start with general questions, Minister, but since Kevin did, I'll just add a couple of questions to some areas you've covered already. I'm glad to see a Seafood Advisory Council, but one of the things I'd be happier to see would be a Seafood Marketing Council. And I know your mandate letter does give you a mandate around that. So could you give us some sense of where you see the Marketing Council going?
Yeah,
because I think we really do need a strategy on marketing.
Absolutely. What we're going to do is we're going to use the Fisheries Advisory Council, because the Fisheries Advisory Council is going to bring together industry, stakeholders. So we're going to one of the first pieces of work, and one of the outlines of the Fishery Advisory Council is cod recovery. And one of the things that we're going to ask this council to do is to advise us the best way to move forward with marketing. So there have been attempts in the past to do seafood marketing that I guess haven't gelled with all the stakeholders. So we're hoping this way, with having all the stakeholders at one table, we can come up with a plan that is able to address that definite concern. And again, I'll go back to that. When we talk about marketing and seafood marketing, and I'll talk about cod for a moment, the beginning of marketing is harvesting. And that product has to be harvested in a manner that recognizes quality. Because, at the end of the day, quality will sell our products, more. You can market something once, but if it's not quality, people won't come back to it.
Right, exactly. Connected to that, not necessarily connected, but the new initiative to allow for the sale of fish directly from wharves, it seems to me that should be part of marketing for the provincial market, how are we going to how are you going to get feedback on how that's going and where it's happening, et cetera?
We've committed to engaging with organizations like the Restaurant Association of Newfoundland and Labrador, for example, to ensure that, anything, and I believe, feel free to correct me, I believe in the past the department has engaged with RANL, as an example, and provided funding for restaurant association events, which would obviously do what you're saying and promote, food tourism.
Right. And just a thought, when talking about stakeholders and the advisory council, are you looking at RANL as maybe somebody who should be on that advisory council?
Yes, I believe we have looked at that industry.
Right, okay. Yeah. And maybe this is for the all-party committee, but since it was brought up here, I'll bring it up. With regard to the panel, the LIFO panel, I was surprised, actually, that the federal announcement didn't include the backgrounds of the people who are on the panel. I searched the documents that we got yesterday, and I don't think there's any backgrounders on any of the panel members.
Okay, it wasn't provided to us. There was some information, but it wasn't whole. But we can provide you with what we have.
I think it would be good. The public may need to know that as well.
Yeah, surprised for sure. Yeah. And we can go back to Ottawa and ask for
Right. Thank you. I'll move then into some line items. Beginning with
1.2.01. 1.2?
Yes, 1.2.01.
Executive support?
Under executive support, yes. It's not a big item, but transportation and communications was 65.9 in last year's budget. The revision was 35,000, and this year it's just 46,000. So could I just have an explanation of, Yeah, just an explanation of the variations there.
Well, the variation in the 15-16 budget would be, I guess, a lot to do with the downtime in the department during the RIT period. So what even the senior staff were on like an emergency travel only, and the other one was in that fiscal year, there was a less than anticipated FPT meetings.
Okay.
And you I guess also due to the federal election.
Okay. And would 46,000 then more reflect what the average has been over the years?
It is you're correct. It is a historical, you know, obviously we went through line by line the entire department looking for savings. And yes, so the 46 was brought back to reflect, you know, not just one year. You know, there are circumstances that would have applied in 15-16 that certainly won't apply in 16-17. One, for example, again, would be FPT.
Great. Thank you. Under purchase services, it's cut in half from last year's budget. So an explanation of what normally would come under purchase services under executive support.
Yeah, purchase services would be, you know, printing, recycling, shredding, meeting room rentals. Again, it was less than budgeted last year. And again, when, you know, we feel that we can certainly operate within what we've budgeted.
Okay, thank you. Turning over to 1.2.02, administrative support. So I guess an explanation of what's happening here, because there's no money under this now for
this
year's budget.
Yeah, this is a capital budget. And the budget was associated with aquaculture inflow construction wharves, and this construction has been completed.
Okay, thank you. And I see that there was a revision upward, because the budget was $975,000, but the amount that was actually spent last year was $1,034,700.
Yep.
So greater cost for the wharves than was anticipated?
Consulting, 43,4 of that, 43,400 was related to consulting design fees of the construction, and there was another 30,000 that was related to the purchase of a new 3/4-ton 4x4 pickup for aquatic health, and this vehicle was replaced on the advice of Transportation and Works because it was in a situation where it was cheaper to get rid of than...
Right. Okay.
Excuse me, if I could just interject for a second. Seeing that we're doing the subheads, probably what we can do is do carry on until 1.4.01 and just do the groups of subheads, and we'll have the vote.
Right.
Is that fine with everyone?
Sure. Yes.
So we'll do 1.1.01 up and including 1.4.01, which takes the executive and support services as a group.
Sure. Okay.
Everybody okay with that? Thank you.
Right. So if I can continue then, Minister, because of the detail you just gave me, I meant to mention this earlier, Chair, if I may. Last night, the Minister of Municipal Affairs did give us the copies of the estimates booklet, and last year a lot of ministers gave them to us too, and that saves from asking some of the
real
detailed questions.
We do have a copy for each of you.
Okay, great. That's fine, because then there'll be questions I won't need to ask, because I know.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, so there is a copy prepared.
Great.
Ready.
Thank you very much. The next area, 1.3.01, next section, last year, the budget for salaries, so in the salary line, 01, the budget for salaries was $976,300, and the revised was $799,200. If we could have an explanation of that variation, and now this year it's back up to $989,000.
Mm-hmm. We had a vacancy. We had two vacant positions. One staff member was temporarily assigned to reassigned to another division, and we had lower salary usage for students, and a position was held vacant for attrition management.
Would those students be summer students?
Yes, they would.
Thank you.
And just, I guess you had a second part to your question, why we went from 976 to 799 and then back to 908?
Yes.
So there's attrition factored in as well into this year's salary. So that's why you see a change from the actual last year to the revised to this year.
Okay. Thank you. 1.3.02, the big one for me, I think I'll get an explanation of the salaries in the book, so I don't need to ask about that. But under subhead 10, grants and subsidies, last year it was $3,050,000, both budgeted and revised, and this year it's just $1,900,000. So could we have an explanation of what those grants and subsidies were for, if all of it was spent, and what's happening this year with only the $1,900,000?
So
the grants that are all listed in the books are...
Yeah. Yeah. So there were savings in CFER, which is the Center for Fisheries Ecosystems. That brings us down this year. There was the elimination of coastal and ocean management grants, and there was a $200,000 savings in the fisheries science.
Okay, and what do you anticipate then the $1,900,000 to be going towards?
Oh, sorry, yeah. So, yes, $1.8 million of that will go to CFER. And $100,000 will go to fisheries science.
Okay, thank you. And then coming over to 1.4.01, coordination and support services. There's a big drop in salaries here from $804 million budgeted last year and down to $262,000 this year. What's happening in this area?
Right. There was removal of there was $400,000 of one-time funding for CETA planning, which has taken place. Then there was removal of temporary funding related to fishery industry renewal, and then there were just other reductions. The money you see there this year, the 262, is to administer. It was formerly used to administer FITNUP, and now it will be used to administer the new seafood program.
Okay, and I assume in the book you'll have the detail of what's covered.
And if not, I can certainly provide it.
There's no need to go through all of that because we'll get the book.
Order,
that's all the questions I have
Thank you.
Sir, I just want to go back and ask a couple of questions, and I got a few line ones to ask also. There's a lot of reductions and savings actually in the department this year. And I want to ask about a couple of them, if you just answer them, okay? The elimination of the coastal and ocean program grants. What are you eliminating there? The savings of $150,000.
I can certainly give you.
What the tab is down there?
Just the last one we were on, wasn't it?
1.3.02.
And right after the green page, right? This is a 15-16 funding.
Yeah.
Funding was provided as an example. There's four different fundings there for the FFAW. There was a funding for CFER. Do you want specifics of?
No, I was wondering what they were for and what are we actually savings, right?
Oh, Flick, sorry, I apologize. Wrong tab. I'm trying to get used to wearing glasses, and I can't do it.
Like me, I can look. I got to put them down on my nose.
Those grants were provided to organizations. There were some green crab studies, which can be funded somewhere else if it's to continue. There was a, for example, World Oceans Day funding of $500. There was other funding for NOAA best practices, $30,000. Students on ice, $11,000.
Okay, so
that's the type of grants that were provided by this program.
Okay, so and that whole program, those grants are just cut
that,
out?
That program has been eliminated.
Program is gone completely, yep. Okay. How about the reduction in funding to the Seafield Development Program?
That would be picked up in the new the $2 million for the new seafood program.
Okay, so we...
So if there was something in that program, for example, that would have been funded previously, they would be able to apply under the new development program.
Okay, so it's gone to me. Special assistance grants. Now, I think these are the small grants that we were given to harbor authorities and stuff like that in the department.
Yep.
And that's completely eliminated?
It has been.
Wow. You know, I know that in my district and in a lot of districts, I'm sure, with all the members there behind me from rural and land, that this was a grant that, I mean, we have harbor authorities that are volunteers in our communities, mm-hmm. and they do a lot of work around the... You'll see them painting their cells and doing a lot of work, and these small grants really helped. Is there anywhere else they can get any assistance?
Absolutely. Well over, I think, 50% of these grants were going to actual harbor authorities, and small crafts and harbors have just put, I stand to be correct, I can get you the number, I think it's $40 million back into small crafts and harbors. So these harbor authorities, because remember, harbor authorities are a federal jurisdiction, and the federal government has put substantially more resources back into small crafts and harbors.
But they don't include pumps and wharfs and stuff that's done on the wharf itself. They'll do the wharf and they'll do, the road work going into facilities and stuff like this, and the small little items that are needed done for cosmetic work. Most of the stuff that was done in my area were great little grants that they cleaned the place up and did a lot of good work. And is there anywhere else? I'm just wondering if they can apply through Municipal Affairs, Special Assistance. Is there anywhere else?
I'm certain they would be able to apply through Municipal Affairs, I guess through JCP or CEEP. Yeah. And I would encourage him, and I've done so in my district, is refer them back to Small Crafts and Harbors, because Small Crafts and Harbors does have a maintenance budget.
But they don't do the small fonts. Do they do the small fonts?
I stand to be corrected, but my understanding is, yes, they do small.
Okay. It's just that I thought it was a great fund that I know that I'm sure in your district, with all the small communities you got, that people were availing of this. I know in mine that every one of the harbor authorities basically came, and one of them or two of them got a grant every year, and it really helped with the cosmetic stuff down around the wharf and most of that. Most of the grants were only like $3,000.
They were typically a $3,000.
Okay, so that's eliminated completely. Okay.
It is.
So we're looking at a lot of savings in your department. I'm wondering what effect does it have on jobs? How many positions? Is there the same number of positions that is in the Department of Fisheries last year that will be there this year?
Yes.
So there's no reduction?
There's no staff reductions.
No staff reductions. Okay.
That's
all right. Correct. Okay, let's go to the line. I know Ms. Michaels asked a few questions here, and I'm going to go back to let's see now, 1 second. I guess my page is right. Okay. So on 1201, executive support, the difference between salaries, is that a vacancy or is that just it was budgeted 721 and only 700, but this year's budget.
Yeah.
So what's the...
That was a vacancy. We had a vacant public relations specialist position for part of the year.
Okay. Minister, what I'll basically do, I won't even, because we won't prolong it, I'll just give you the line. You can give me what's the description you got there, if you want to.
Okay,
sure.
Review
and anything else. Okay, just go to section 1301, planning administration.
Yep.
I'd like to ask you about the revenue, provincial revenue. Can you explain that line, what the revenue is there?
So the variance?
Revenue for provincial, 02. Shows 2,200. I just always want to know what revenue is. Where does it come from, really?
The increase was...
What's it for? That's all I really want to know.
Can you answer that, Dave?
Dave Lewis, that is sort of a catch-all for miscellaneous amounts.
So if someone, for example, has personal use of, a cell phone for a certain period of time, and they'll pay for their personal calls and all of that. Because there's a catch-all. If there was revenue that was supposed to have been reflected in the previous year, it shows up late. Sometimes that gets in here. It's a variety of very, very small amounts that total up to a couple of $1,000s a year.
I'm always interested in what the revenue is on the revenue lines anyway. Okay, I don't know, if, professional services. There was nothing budgeted in the previous year, yet to use 35, and this year we're budgeting. What professional services are you?
Last year was a contract was required for a review of records management and a classification system. So it was a consultant, Prima Solutions. And this year you see the $50,000 there.
Yeah.
That $50,000 is a new funding used to establish the Fisheries Advisory Council.
Okay. All right. Okay. How about the purchase services?
Again, in purchase services, $50,000 of that is budgeted for the new Fisheries Advisory Council.
Okay. Yeah, and the grants and subsidies, we budgeted 23. Last year we used 13.5. This year we're not going to have any. So what are those grants and subsidies?
The expenditures were related to sealer training and through DFO and Professional Fish Harvester Certification Board, and that's been completed.
Okay. Let's go to section 1302. And I know Ms. Michael asked the salary one. I wanted to go to the grants and subsidies again and get an explanation of, the difference between $3 million, basically $2 million here.
Well, again, $800,000 would be CFER, $500,000 from the boat and $300,000 from reductions. And the other $150,000 would be the Coastal and Oceans Management, and the Fisheries Science through would be $200,000.
Okay, so it's elimination of those grants, okay. I just asked about the grants, but different areas where you can see it, where it's still okay.
Yep.
Okay, section 14001. Again, grants and subsidies again. I know Ms. Michael asked about the salaries, but the grants and subsidies, the difference between there, $750 and $500 this year, $300 only used last year.
Oh, okay. That's the fish plant worker adjustment program. So last year there was $300,000 spent of the budget, and this year we've allocated another $500,000 for that program. That's the program that is currently being used in Burnt Islands with a permanent plant closure. And there was some funding last year provided to the town of Harbor Breton for workforce adjustment temporary until the Barry facility opened.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to go. I know I asked this question before, but this department, this area was mainly where we did with CETA. And so we haven't, you say we haven't given up on CETA at all, but yet there's a lot of money that's gone out of here.
Yeah. So the work that was done for CETA,
it's
we have it. So that those plans, those reports, are done and are there to be acted upon. Yeah, and they are available online.
Okay. All right.
Order, please. Time's expired for...
Minister, is there any possibility then that $500,000, that's something that could be used if needed for the workers from Beta Verde?
That's certainly something that could be looked at, but typically... that funding for Beta Verde, for example, will come from municipal affairs because this funding is for fish plant permanent closures, and obviously we're thankful that Beta Verde is not a permanent closure.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
So we, under the voting, we need to vote separately on 1.1.01.
1.1.01.
Shall 1.1.01 carry? All those in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
1.2.01 to 1.4.01 inclusive.
1.2.01 to 1.4.01 inclusive. Shall it carry? All those in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Would the clerk please please call the next set of subheads?
2.1.01 to 2.2.04 inclusive.
Ms. Michael?
Thank you. All right, I'll be doing line questioning here. So 2.1.01 has just been called. Under subhead 10, grants and subsidies, if we could have an explanation of this, Minister, because last year $300,000 was budgeted, $217,000 spent, and this year it's just $10,000. So,
that's the special assistance grants which have been eliminated.
I'm sorry, I just missed
that. I'm sorry, that's the special assistance grants, and the $10,000 remaining was in the event that there was overruns or overlaps, so that to ensure that nobody was no group was left, you know, holding, you know, leftover projects that we covered with the $10,000.
And so there's no more money in that.
No, area. There's not.
Okay, thank you. 2.2.01, seafood marketing and support services. Again, the subhead 10, grants and subsidies. Looks like $200,000 was spent last year and nothing this year. What was that money used for last year, and why would we have nothing going into?
Oh, right. That was time-limited funding for the Seafood Market Council that expired.
And so now there's no money for the council?
Right, okay, yeah. Right, so obviously our marketing money is intact, but this we will establish the marketing council on the advice of the Fishery Advisory Council.
Okay, so you're putting everything on hold until you get the advisory council in place.
Marketing is not on hold. In that line, is that correct? Yeah.
Okay. Could we have an idea of what that was used for last year?
I'd have to defer to. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, I have it.
DMs are for.
There was a grant to ASP. There was a grant to GIAC. There was a grant to FFAW. Eastern Fish Markets, Notre Dame Seafoods, and the town of Bay Roberts.
Okay.
And they ranged anywhere from $1,000 to $50,000.
And so this year there's just no money for grants?
If the requests come in, they can certainly be addressed through the new marketing program. For example, there was a halibut traceability study that would certainly be eligible under the new program.
Now, you may have answered this before, and I missed it, but where is that the new marketing money in place? Where is the line for that money?
That's back. It's coming up, right? Yeah. 2.204. Right, yes, you'll find it. The number 10 on 2.204.
Okay, and since we're talking about it, let's stay there for a minute then, because I did have a question on this, because last year it was $2.5 million.
Right.
And it looks like all of that was used. So now it's down to $2.2 million in this year's budget, yet it's also incorporating the line that was in 2.2.01, yet we have a drop in the grants and subsidies here, so it just seems to be a drop in money going into innovation, development, and marketing.
Yeah, that would be this would break down to the FITNAP program, which was $1 million that was set to expire
the seafood development program, which was 525, which is now 200, and the elimination of the funding for CCFI. CCFI and FitNet were doing a lot of the same work, and administration costs were becoming a very large percentage of the funds, and they weren't actually getting the funds out to the harvesters and processors.
Right.
So streamlining, you know, we found streamlining. Actually, we will be able this fiscal year to put more money out the door to harvesters and processors through the streamlining.
Okay. Thank you very much. Coming back then, check my notes here. I think that's straightforward. Looking at 2.2.03, probably a similar answer to other places, but under salaries, budgeted $417,800 last year, but only spent $371,700.
There was a vacancy.
Okay. And is that vacancy, has that become redundant, or is it now filled?
That vacancy is now filled, right? That vacancy has been since filled.
It has been filled, yeah. And as you said...
As you see, in the estimates for this year, it's back to 422.
Right. And as you said earlier to Kevin, there are no job losses in your department.
No.
Which is good news. I think for the moment, then, there are all the questions I have on Section 2.
Thank you.
Minister, I'm going to go back to Section 2101, and I'm really disappointed in that grants and subsidy line, because I think it was a, you know, I think it was a good investment into our small, especially small rural communities, where you got a lot of volunteers in there doing a lot of work. And like I said, a lot of times I saw one instance where they got enough money to get the shingles but didn't have enough money to put them on, so they put them on themselves and stuff like this. And there's nowhere in the department that people can apply for these small grants anymore. There's no, that's completely eliminated.
They would have to go through Small Crafts and Harbors.
Okay. And if there is a program that we can find out about in Small Crafts and Harbors?
I certainly will. Check, you know.
Okay, I'd really like to get that, to be able to pass it on to the people that avail of this. How many different groups and harbor authorities, fishermen's committees, municipalities, and everything used this last year?
Brian is telling me quickly that it was 94.
94, okay. So under the small crafts,
it's in your binder that we'll provide you with.
Okay. Under small crafts and harvesting, we know that their investment this year in Newfoundland, I mean, it's huge. It's after going up by, I'm not sure what the percentage point is.
It's a good
investment this year. I was talking to Bill Goldie, myself, and Bill was saying that, you know, because there's a couple of projects I might go. What, you know, is there anything new that we're working with them to do improvements to a lot of these harbors?
Absolutely. No different than, I guess, like yourself. You talk to Bill on a regular basis. I talk to Bill on a regular basis, you know, particularly in my district. But absolutely, we're looking at and I've talked to Minister Foote about this on a number of occasions. You know, again, as we look to transitioning back into ground fish, one of the things we've lost since 1992 is small crafts and harvest infrastructure with regards to cod. The way cod will be harvested in the future is something that small crafts and harbors needs to address. And we've had these conversations because landing shrimp or landing crab is different than landing cod. So yes, we're working with small crafts and harbors to encourage developments in harbors that recognize the transition back to ground fish.
I know in my district and some other districts, I spoke to fishermen, a lot of problems with the harbors these days. A lot of cranes got replaced. And I know it's in your district too.
Yeah.
And I know that we got to put a, you know, and it's a job to get them. They won't do anything until they see what the landings are in
right.
the harbor. But
right.
there can be no landings in the harbor when there's no crane there to make the landings.
Right. And you talk about the crane, and I don't mean to go off course, but even if you look at vessel design, as we go back to COD, you know, vessels are going to be designed different. There's a new vessel here in St. John's, actually, that was designed for COD. And, you know, offloading is going to be different because offloading is going to be done now, actually, you know, in a pan, whereas offloading in the past was done, you know, maybe in a box. But, you know, the product is going to come out of the vessel. It's not going to be handled. It's going to be taken.
That's good for the bigger vessels, but if once we get to the smaller communities and smaller vessels, and hopefully that people do get back into the cod fishery,
yeah.
I know they're going to have to ice down their fish and
yeah.
probably a different way they're going to have to do it, but those little smaller boats are not going to be able to have what the larger boats.
But they would still have to avail of the cranes. So obviously,
yeah,
that infrastructure is important.
It is an issue that
yeah, absolutely.
That's out there, right? So,
yeah.
And something we can look at. Again, I want to go to seafood marketing, and again, in my preamble when we talked earlier, how important this is and where we're to, and I know that grants and subsidies, and I know Ms. Michael mentioned it, but it's a huge concern in the industry that we're not going to be ready and that the marketing part of it, you know. So I'd like to see where we're doing, what investments we're making. I know we're doing this innovation, but it seems like we're throwing everything in this $2 million fund.
Well, you know, there's been many attempts made in the past to do seafood marketing, and we could not, you know, come together, whether it be through the harvesters and the processors. We're unable to come together. And
yeah.
you know, the previous administration made an attempt, and I think to the point where there was even a vote, where processors didn't buy in. They didn't come to the table. And this is why it's important that we bring them to the table to see what it is they're looking for, you know? And this is going to take some time.
Yeah. I mean, we did the ministerial statement did gesture with certification stuff. That's,
right.
that's a huge part of marketing today because people,
absolutely.
They want to see where their product's coming from, whether it's sustainability and
yep.
everything else. And I know that you look at cod fishery, I mean, back in the 90s and 80s and 70s, it was all done on block, frozen block, basically. But this time, it looks like the restaurants are looking for whole cod, and it's a different market. So, you know, my whole point about the market is making sure we know what's out there and what's, and it's, there's an investment that needs to be done for it.
Obviously, the processing sector, you know, market themselves with their brands and their products. But the FFAW has also done some great work with they have a program.
Is this fish, is it?
Yeah, so the FFAW has done some work themselves, you know, through DFA and other sources, and produced a program, This Fish. It's a tagging program. It's used primarily right now in lobster.
Yeah,
so if you buy a lobster that's harvested by an FFAW.
Yeah, familiar with that. Yeah,
okay.
It's a great program. And,
yeah.
and like I said, that seems to be where the industry is going.
Absolutely. People. Yeah.
Okay, I just want to go back, and again, I always ask a question on revenue. Okay, the question on revenue. And 2101, the revenue line there. Can you explain that to me?
On 2101?
2101, Administration Support Services. There's a revenue there of $10,000, $25,000 was last year. Was.
Oh, sorry. 2101.
That's the wharf and user fees.
Okay, yeah, that's wharf and user fees,
okay.
and last year was higher than anticipated.
Okay.
So these would come from primarily from the South Coast, the inflow and outflow wharves.
And on 2201, there was revenue budgeted. We didn't get much, and we got non-budgeted this year. What's that?
2201. Okay. That's related to trade show costs. So one time we would collect and apply against our portion to trade shows. Now they pay their costs directly. Okay. So, for example,
Boston. Yeah.
Okay. Do you need an example?
Yes. No, that's good. That's,
no?
That's okay. Good. Yeah. Okay, let's go to section 2202. Just a couple here. So obviously we either had a hire or we hired somebody in this area. Did we or increase in staff there?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to turn that one to Dave.
Okay, Dave Lewis, Deputy Minister. In the 2015-16 budget, was when that budget was prepared, it was just at the time the attrition planning came in. So at that time, it was anticipated that we were going to see attrition occurring in that particular division, so the salary budget was reduced accordingly. But the attrition hasn't occurred. So we've had to pick the – we found savings elsewhere in the department to accommodate the, you know, reduction in overall salaries for the department. But it wasn't in this particular division. So that's why the salaries were up last year, and the same amount is basically has been budgeted again for the coming for this year.
So no one wants to leave your department.
so that person didn't treat.
Operating accounts. Yeah. I wonder if you could explain there with 85,000 budget and 44.
The
operating. Yeah, an operating line.
Yeah, that's a total line, right? That's.
No, that's so, total line. 02, operating accounts. It says 85,700.
That is the total line.
Okay. Okay, that's the whole.
Yeah, that's the whole, you know, all of the changes from above.
Okay,
yeah,
okay, I see that. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Okay, and on the next section down, 2202, purchase services. What were the services that we purchased?
Purchase services, 2202? That would be your normal purchase services, printing, copying, shredding.
So,
it's basically meeting room rentals.
Okay.
Just general day-to-day operations.
Okay. So I know Ms. Michael asked this question, but again, the operating. Under section 2204, the grants and subsidies. Now, that's this new fund that you got put in place, right?
Right.
But, I mean, there's a lot of things going, a lot of things we talked about here this morning going into the fund, but yet the fund has been reduced a little bit from last year.
Yeah, well we've found substantial administrative savings, probably in the area of at least $500,000 through the elimination of CCFI. So what happened last year, and both FITNOP and CCFI were sunset in budget 15-16. So when we went back look at the $1 million that was budget for FITNOP in 15-16 and the $1 million that was budget for CCFI in 15-16, we found that administration costs were coming close to 50% of the $2 million. So we went back so that we're able to get more money to the actual harvester and processor.
Okay.
So the savings are found in administration, not the money going to harvesters and processors.
Okay. So just go to the next section now, 2205. Again, this is a revenue line I want to talk about. And if you could give me an explanation there. And there's a reduction in what we're planning to get to.
That's
this
the
just licenses, I suppose.
Right. So last year there was money provided to the two sealing processors in the province. One availed of it. One was given or granted the money.
It was put in a trust.
It was put in a trust for them at a budget 14-15.
Okay.
One didn't use it, returned the entire $1 million. So that's why it shows up in revenue, because it went out in fiscal 14-15,
yeah.
Came back in fiscal 15-16. And the other revenue you see there is what's been repaid by the other borrower.
Okay. Now, I got a, while we're talking about sale, I got a general question just to ask on this one, and I don't know if you can answer or Dave can answer it. I got an individual that contacted me about a sale license transfer. Okay, and it was transferred from one boat to the other, and apparently they can't do that. Is that how does a transfer work?
That would be a DFO question.
It would be a DFO question?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was, again, I wasn't sure whether the transfer of licenses worked, but apparently it can't be done. Okay, what investments are we making this year when it comes to the sale industry?
We've met with the industry and the union and many of the stakeholders involved, and we offered assistance to... was gratefully appreciated that we offered, but the buy from, for example, from Carino this year, they're doing on their own, and Carino is planning this year themselves to harvest 55,000 animals, which will be about 20,000 animals more than were harvested in the last year.
Okay. What's the market like?
The market for seal skins is poor. The market for seal oil is as strong or stronger than it's ever been. And that's really... And one of the things that Carino and Folkelux are doing this year is harvesting adults because of the amount of meat and oil.
Okay. Order, please. Okay. Time's expired. Anything further, Ms. Michael?
Product inventory financing. So just for clarification, is the $825,000 this year being held in trust, or is it that will be the end? You know that money is going to be coming into us, and that's the end.
Yeah, that's what we're expecting to collect this year. That was paid out last year.
Right.
So the business in question, that's where we're anticipating the return this year.
Okay, and is that Carino still, or?
No, it's not.
No, it's the other company.
It's the other company.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. That's
Thank
it.
You. Would the clerk please recall the subheads?
2.1.01 to 2.2.05 inclusive.
2.1.01 to 2.2.05 inclusive. Shall it carry? All those in favor? Carried. Would the clerk please call the next set of
3.1.01 to 3.1.02 inclusive.
Thank you.
A couple of questions here. I mean, Minister, it's imperative, I think, government that this industry is one of the fastest growing, and it's a good diverse industry in the province. And I had my first trip down to the South Coast, down to Tracy Perry's district. I went down there when I was really young, and I didn't remember it. I was down fishing with my father one time. But a beautiful part of the country, and it's just to see how much work is getting done down there and how the industry has revived the whole South Coast is amazing, and I think it's a bright part of our whole area. And there's a lot of investments that have to be done by government, and I'm sure. But I'm going to just do I go back to the former question that I asked you about, new players in the industry. So are we, how's that going? Are we, are we getting out there and getting enough players in here, We have some good players there now.
First of all, I'm jealous that you've gotten down, because I've been scheduled to go twice and snow and other things have gotten in the way. Mm. And you're correct. It is a bright spot. And we are actively working with the people that are already in the province, whether it's Northern Harvest or Cook, to help them expand. And we are always looking for new opportunities in agriculture, whether it be in finfish or mussels, or even new developing areas with regards to oysters and clam.
Okay, there was some elimination of funds to eliminate the Agriculture and Agri-Foods Development Fund. What was that?
Agriculture?
Or Agri-Foods Development Fund.
Agri-Foods?
Yeah.
That's
Oh, forestry and
okay. That's forestry.
I'm sorry.
Wait till you get Mitchell Moore.
I'm sorry. But you know, we did investments in the veterinarian billing and stuff like that. Where are we to with that? Was there any reductions or something?
No.
That's
going to come up as a heading on our aquatic health.
Okay.
And I can, if you want to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, aquatic health is something that I guess the previous administration put a great importance on, and we've continued our focus on aquatic health.
Which one?
Oh, yeah,
right. Okay.
And actually, to the point of aquatic health, we now have a complement of 4 full-time veterinarians in the province.
Okay. And we had a lot of issues in the last number of years, remember, with different... you see salmon being destroyed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So where are we to with that now?
Give credit where credit is due. The investment into the aquatic health center and the investment into, you know, the 4th veterinarian certainly plays into that, and we would be considered a leader when it comes to our aquatic health program.
Okay. I want to go up to section 3101 and just look at professional services. There's a huge increase there this year from 183 to 358.
Right. That was one of our new initiatives with Bay Management, because one of the important things we need when trying to find new companies to come into the province and do aquaculture, one of the first things they want is data on what's available site-wise. And what Bay Management does, it goes in and looks at currents and tides, so that, you know, you determine if an area is suitable for aquaculture.
Is that what we're doing down Marystown Way? Is that what
that would? Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Then include Presidential Bay is included in that, and also still some funding.
Some work in the South Coast.
And some more work on the South Coast, because that is expanding as well.
Okay. Okay. We go to section 3102. And... line 8 with the loans and differences. Can you explain this? Like last year, we had a budget $2,800,000, and this year we had $3.2 million, but yet we only used $685,000.
Yeah, that variance is due into delays in the Northern Harvest project. Northern Harvest is doing an expansion on the South Coast, and there were some delays on Northern Harvest drawing down their actual the government's contribution, so that money has been moved forward. And because, in actual fact, last year we only had to pay out $685,000 of the investment into Northern Harvest.
Okay. So go to section. That's it for that section.
Ms. Michael?
Most of my questions have been asked by Kevin, but just to come back to the aquatic animal health, glad to know we have the 4 vets. Can we have an update on the work with regard to the infectious salmon anemia? Because that's been an issue.
Yeah, I'm gonna let Brian address that.
Brian Meaney. The ISA events that happened in 12 and 13 only happened in those areas. There have not been any further detections of that virus in Newfoundland waters. We have increased our surveillance as well to monitor that. The company's recovered because there was a significant loss to that event. But the companies are, if you look at our production stats, we're back to the 2012 production, 2013 production. So everything is back and the fish are healthy and robust.
Great. Thank you very much. That's all my questions.
Okay.
Would the clerk, are you okay? Would the clerk please recall the subheads?
3.1.01 to 3.1.02 inclusive.
3.1.01 to 3.1.02 inclusive. Shall it carry? All of those in favor?
Yes.
Carried. Will the clerk please call the next group of subheads, please?
4.1.01 to 5.1.01 inclusive.
Thank you.
I have a general question that I'd like to ask the minister. has to do with OCI Minister, and really interested in some update on what their intentions are with regard to Fortune. As we all know, they did promise 110 full-time positions when they signed the agreement back when. And interested in knowing what's going on. Do they intend to bring temporary foreign workers in? Just an update, please.
Currently, my most recent discussion with OCI and with the plant workers or the union and some of the workers represented, the plan originally was to start production, I think, May and early June and run to the end of July, similar to last year's production, and then do the same thing in the fall as they did last year, providing the, I guess it was 14 to 16 weeks' work. There has been some, media stories, and there might even be a request into the Government of Canada for temporary foreign workers. My understanding is these foreign workers would be used as trimmers, and if that happens, what the company's intention is to run from July to December. So what's happening right now, I guess, with the from the company's perspective, and I did raise this with the company recently, and I spoke to the union about it as well. The company today is freezing all yellowtail that's being kept for Fortune, and collecting it so that when they start work, they can provide a continual period of work.
And is it confirmed that everybody in the area who would want work will be hired prior to even looking at the temporary foreign workers?
Well, that would be my understanding. That would be the role of the federal government to ensure that takes place. But we haven't really.
They've been advertising for trimmers.
Yeah, they've been advertising for trimmers. These people are being brought in specifically as trimmers, and I believe there was an attempt in the past, and it comes back to something that Mr. Parsons brought up earlier about, you know, transitioning back into COD,
is yes.
We've lost a lot of, the skill set that was available in 1992, and that's going to bring a need for new technology when it comes to processing.
Right. Just coming back to the whole issue of the transitioning, I know it's not your department's responsibility for training, but is there a cross-department discussion going on with regard to trying to get our younger people interested again in fishing?
Well, it all comes back to, I guess, we've got to really, what we need to do in the fishery is we need to get the fishery into a longer season, and this is where cod factors in, along with shrimp and crab and others, because if we're going to attract people into the industry, we need to have something to offer them, because people aren't interested in short pieces of work.
Right.
So obviously, the industry should evolve that for us.
Right. I guess the issue is a bit bigger in the sense that, and that's why I'm saying it's not just your department, obviously, but the whole issue, we've almost lost a culture. There are some communities where the culture still exists, but for the majority of communities that are the potential for the transitioning, we've lost a culture. And I'm just thinking that, and again, I think it's more a cabinet table discussion maybe, but, how do we, we almost need to be into the schools. We really need to be looking at the transitioning
I think,
is more than just,
yeah.
The technical.
But from what I've seen, though, when I was in Boston, for example, what I've seen is, there is, from 1992 to a new ground fishery, there's going to be a lot of difference in the expertise that's going to be
right.
required. You're going to need computer technicians now as much as you're going to need fielders in lots of cases
right.
because the equipment, it's going to be more highly skilled,
right.
work.
Just a broad issue that needs to be discussed, I think.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you.
No, they're not equipped for cod. No, they're not equipped for cod.
It expires this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the quota. That
yeah, really doing cod. Obviously, we have Arnold's Cove. They've done about 10,000,
okay.
10 million, right? 10 million pounds of cod this year. Quinlan's in Old Perlican did over £1 million last year. Beothuk has started to do some cod.
Who else, Dave?
Fogo was doing some cod.
There's a small
right, there's a secondary in Bay Roberts. John Osmond on the West Coast, Codroy Fisheries is doing some cod.
What's the total?
Yeah, the quota is 15,000 tons, and only half is being done, right? Of the 15,000 tons allowable, about half is being done. Broadly, I guess
supply, right? Like
the supply is not really. To meet today's cod market, to compete with Iceland is harvesting cod 12 months a year, right? And, you know, for us to be, we're not able, we don't have enough resource to get back into that, to that market, right? There, you know, the downtime in Iceland for cod is July and August. When we're catching cod, Icelanders go on holidays because the world don't want, my markets don't want cod in July and August. And one of the things I found most interesting when I moved into this department is the fact that the peak season for seafood consumption is really November the 15th until Easter Sunday. That's when people want seafood, right? And that's one of the beauties of the aquaculture industry, is you take it out of water as you need it, right? And it's one of the challenges that you face with a wild fishery. Oh, yeah. Don't we all?
As we discussed yesterday, the conversation we had yesterday with Anwar Ranka, just to continue with this discussion, as we know, the federal government's going to increase quotas to the inshore fishery this year. It's pretty well known through the industry that it is. So if we are at the level right now that we're only been able to process half of what we're allocated, if they allocation doubles, how are we going to process the cod?
That step forward, you know, that's one that the union and the processors that were involved in this announcement, you know, a week and a half ago,
yeah,
you know, they're really focusing on that as a challenge that they're going to face. And you know, to have cooperation even at that level of, you know, the harvesters and the processors, and you see the processors that have come to the table already, and we're hearing that others, we can expect other processors to come to that, to that table as well, as time moves forward, and their focus is really on, I guess, the overall or the overarching questions that, you know, you and you guys have raised today about cod. So addressing that problem,
it's a huge problem. Somewhere we should be up front and, you know, on the ball with, basically, because again, I don't know where they're going to sell. Like, I know that most of the inshore fishery now, where they got small quotas, I think it's like 6,000 or 7,000 pounds.
Yeah.
It's easy enough to be able to sell to the markets of the fish and chips places and people buying cod.
The door-to-door sales.
Door-to-door sales, yeah. Salt fish and stuff like that. But once that increases, that is going to really put it, well, like, we don't have a glut anymore. We'll never have that again, I don't think. But the markets are going to be, you know, and where are they coming from? That's, you know.
Yeah, and right, and understanding what it is the market wants, right? Yeah. So there's a big piece of work there, and it's encouraging to see the formation of this council, and we're committed to working with this council.
Were we asked to be on that council?
No, we weren't. We were actually invited to meet with the council along with DFO after their announcement. So their announcement was on, I think, Friday morning. We met with them Friday afternoon, so they wanted to do it without.
So are they,
I shouldn't say without government, but they.
No.
Yeah.
Are they going to establish their own marketing? Is that what their plan is?
I believe, you know, they're looking at all of the pillars of the business.
Okay.
And I think when they're ready, you will see they will approach government and say this is the role that, you know, we would like for government to play.
Okay. That's it for the section.
Mr. Michael.
I think, thank you. Just one more question, Minister, with regard to OCI. If I'm not mistaken, I think the quota holdco agreement expires this year. And so what's the intent of government with regard to the agreement extending it, putting quotas up for bid, or?
Okay, so it does expire, and we will be going forward to seek an extension, and OCI has agreed as well.
Okay, so you won't be putting it up for bid. You'll just go for an extension with OCI first.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Anything further?
That's it. Yeah.
Would the clerk please recall the subheads?
4.1.01 to 5.1.01 inclusive.
4.1.01 to 5.1.01 inclusive. Carry. All those in favor? Carried. Okay. Would the clerk please call the total?
Total.
Shall the total carry? All those in favor? Yes, we did.
Yeah, I got one. But grants, I just have one question here. And the grants and subsidies, I was wondering what they're for. And the grants and subsidies here in 5101, I was wondering what the grants and subsidies were for.
I have to turn that over to Brian, actually.
Those grants are primarily funding to research institutions for specific pieces of research that we need on fish health. So we may contract the Atlantic Veterinary College to provide advice on sea lice counting techniques, or to other veterinary institutions where we look for specific information or advice on our fish health program.
Okay. Okay, that's good. That's all. We're not completely finished now, though, are we? Okay, can I ask, obviously, you know, I'm going to ask now, the last question I want to ask is about our recreational fishery.
And he wouldn't go, there's no way he was going back to his office today without asking that.
Though I really, you know, and I've seen it, Minister, and it really scares me, because I've seen it in the area of the province where I'm from. It's different in Trinity Bay. We don't go up there, scatter time up in an old shop and go out off there. But it's the safety thing that really is really, I think, the emphasis is for me. When I see people go out in small little boats that I wouldn't put in some ponds, and they're out there fishing on the North Atlantic, and because they're out there trying to catch fish on days that they shouldn't be out there. And I know that you're advocating on behalf, and I know that. But I really believe that it's something that emphasis got to be put on to the federal government, and just, you know, this fishery is unfair. It's putting people's lives, and we see it every year. Every year there's somebody loses their life at this fishery, and there's no need of it. When the rest of Atlantic Canada can go and fish, and I have solutions. So I have, I'd like to tell the federal government what I'd like to think about it, but, you know. I think a tag system would work.
I'm sorry, you believe it would work?
It would, yeah.
Okay.
I think, because that way it would put people out in, you know, rather than rush out on a Saturday and a Sunday to get the last weekend in. I mean, it's, I know at the end of the year, when they, every year they did the last week in September, September's a dirty month. And you can't get underwater. And what we're doing to people and what we're putting, and I think the federal government don't realize that the safety issue, and every year there's some lives lost at this fishery, and there's no need of it.
You know, as a government, you know, we agree with what you're saying. You know, it's so important. You know, we recognize, it's recognized actually in my mandate letter from the Premier to advocate to the federal government for a fairer system and a safer system, not only fair but safer system, where, you know, timelines would be, but we would be expanded to allow for, and I agree with you, September, that week in September is usually just a wash, because it's our September weather is not conducive. But, you know, I've advocated on every occasion I've met with Minister Tutu, every occasion that I've had the opportunity to meet with Minister Foote, and it's something that we expect to see, you know, some changes. The cod management plan is due down, I think, in early May. And this is, I guess, where we're expecting to see, because the cod management plan is where, as you alluded to earlier, expectations of changes in quotas will come in the cod management plan. So certainly the recreational fishery and a tourism fishery, because that's the other piece that holds a lot of potential for parts of this province. So we're looking forward to something in the management plan.
Okay, and just to go to that again, and we do want to emphasize to the federal government, I know Dave and yourself have noticed, that we can't have both fisheries at one time because, I mean, it's just when you got nets and that undergrounds and people fishing, and so it's important that they realize that the fishermen don't want it for one reason, the fisher people just don't want it, but it's recreation. And just to go to the tourism aspect of it, this industry, anybody that gets an opportunity to go out and catch a cod, I mean, I take a lot of people out and they just absolutely love it. I'm used to it. But what it can do to the tourism industry is huge. And, I mean, tour operators, they want to know early enough so that they can advertise, they can have their brochures done, and the later and the longer this gets delayed, it's the harder on the tourism industry too, because this is huge for tourism industry.
Well, and I guess one of the challenges this year being, you know, the expiry of the previous management plan, which lasts 3 years, this all has to be factored into the management plan.
Anything further, Ms. Michael?
Okay. Would the clerk please call the total?
Total.
Shall the total carried? All in favor? Carried. Shall I report the estimates of the Department of Fisheries and Agriculture carried without amendment? All those in favor? Carried. Just want to announce that the time and date of our next meeting of the Resources Committee is Tuesday, tonight, April 19th at 6 p.m. with the Department of Natural Resources and the Office of Public Engagement. And Chair would entertain a motion. Oh, sorry?
Thank you, staff, for coming here this morning. Thank you for answering all the questions. You did a great job, Minister. Again, you know, it's an important industry in the province, and I think we got to be on top of our game. And thank you very much for what you did here this morning. And thank all committee members for coming here.
Thank you, Ms. Michael.
Well. Again, thank you. Thank you for the questions. And at any time, if myself or the department can answer a question that you guys might have, feel free to contact us.
Okay.
Oh, and some light reading.
Great. Thank you.
Hearing nothing further, the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn. Carried.